Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to
another... No, Joe, wait. Okay. I'm not letting you talk. I have something to say, and I'm letting it out right now.
You sound like Max, bro.
Erling Haaland is Pipo Inzaghi. They are the same fucking player. He doesn't show up in big matches. He can only finish inside the box, and the other times he's offside, and now he's getting caught more, or else Inzaghi would have been if VAR was such a thing back then. Haaland is a flop. He is shite. My nan can score better goals than him.
I don't know if you're talking about the goalie, my nan, or your actual nan.
No, my nan.
First off. Second off, I mean,
He's shit. He's overrated. He's overhyped. I bought his fucking jersey last year. I spent money on the guy, and the biggest waste of money. Spent over 50 quid for that.
We don't spend a quid. We spent $1,000, but whatever. Anyways.
I did for him.
There you have it, guys. Our first discussion already. We're just jumping right into it. Don't worry about who we are anymore.
I couldn't hold it in.
Erling Haaland, is he overrated? Yes. Clearly, we know where Al stands on this.
I'm heated about it because I was the guy. I thought he was that guy. I thought he was going to be it. And he's already proving it in the matter of a year that he's just a fucking fraud. People are like, yeah, but he still scored 40 goals. Yeah. Against who? Birmingham? Who the fuck did he really score against? He didn't show up in the finals against Inter. He didn't show up against Real Madrid now. Where is this guy?
Listen.
This guy's supposed to be like an Mbappe who scored a hat-trick in a World Cup final?
It's pretty cold.
Ma, please, dude.
First off, I will say one thing. You can't compare him to Inzaghi because Inzaghi at least scored on the biggest stages. If you want to use that as a...
So Inzaghi's better. Inzaghi's better than
him. Now, I'm not going to go that far and
he's a Walmart Inzaghi that finishes tap-ins, essentially.
The analogy and comparison is somewhat accurate. I will say that. They do have a lot of similar qualities. They have zero finesse. They are tap-in merchants. They
thrive because a midfielder teammate that is just unbelievable at passing the ball and being a facilitator. That's it.
Okay. The thing is, though, Haaland is... Okay, I do agree that Haaland and Inzaghi are the same. And I'm trying to find the words to argue against it because I feel like this is such an outrageous take.
There
because
is nothing.
We look at Inzaghi and like...
Give me Nico Jackson over Haaland.
No, okay, stop. See, that's... You lose the plot with certain things like that.
Yeah. No, I'm just playing.
He's actually not. The worst part is everything Al is saying is actually his true feelings.
It is. Except for the Nico Jackson thing. I wouldn't take Nico Jackson over Haaland.
I don't know.
It's a little bit. That's pushing it a little bit. But Haaland is a bigger fraud than Nico Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I could agree with. At least with Nico Jackson, he never came in and said these things and made like this false identity thing where it's like, oh no, I'm actually the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think there was a shit ton of hype around Haaland, and I think nowadays he's not living up to that because to be a guy that could only play well and score these goals when Kevin De Bruyne's available kind of speaks volumes. It means you cannot do anything for yourself. That's what I'm saying. You need your man there, which is fine, which is cool.
And even when he is there, he still can't finish some of the chances.
Well, look at nowadays. It's literally Foden carrying that attack. Where is Erling Haaland? You know, okay, yes, nowhere. He scores his penalty shots, he scores his tap-ins. But when was the last time you've seen Haaland
swap him out for my 11-year-old nephew, and he can do the exact same thing and have the exact same amount of goals as him?
Maybe not those heading goals, but
no, he's pretty good at heading. He gets up there.
I feel like this is a weird conversation. So let's just change that.
I'm just letting you know he can do it over Haaland.
No, yeah, okay, like Haaland to Inzaghi, the comparison is definitely something that's there. And I do agree, tap-in merchant, whatever, maybe a little bit over-glorified. But isn't that what a number nine is? No. Like when you really break down what a number nine is, it's a predator. It's a guy that's in the perfect spot at the perfect time. Sometimes it doesn't even involve skill. You know, so like, is that such a bad thing for Haaland to be that guy? Question?
But the problem is, so there's, again, players like Inzaghi who, you know, garbage men, just, you know, they have one job and that's it. They'll be offside nine times, but they'll get one goal that game for you.
Yeah.
But players like that are never players of that top caliber where Haaland thinks that he is on the same, even close to level as Mbappe. And you know, I don't like Mbappe that much. Yeah, I know he's skillful. Don't like the guy. But in saying that, you can see that gap. And Haaland's nowhere near that. And he thinks he is, But if you're going to be a tap-in merchant and okay, a number nine, yeah, hey, good. You'll be good on West Brom, but you're not going to be a good striker.
I also want to say there's nothing wrong with West Brom. I love West Brom. Nothing
wrong with West Brom.
Dude, they're crazy. They had that crazy guy that was supposed to be the next best thing. What was his name? Sadio Berrarino or something like that. Supposed to be Brazilian, but he wasn't. Anyways.
And where are they?
Yeah, no, I know. But no, I just think it's with the media and everything like that. It's what we've talked about like previous episodes when we talked about how like players are kind of over glorified present day because they're searching for like that next best thing, right? So they're trying to build this narrative, Haaland versus Mbappe. It's like Messi versus Ronaldo, whereas Ronaldo's like Haaland because they get these crazy goals, they score, they're so clutch, they're Mr. Champions League, Mr. Pressure, blah 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 blah. You know, and then Messi is Mbappe where it's like that. Pressure. But in the reality of things, like Haaland is doing the job of a regular number nine. And he can't do his job unless he has his support there. So maybe it's just the media and everybody else kind of over glorifying his abilities and stuff like that. And he really is just an Inzaghi.
But he's also not even doing his full job as a number nine. Because like you said, when De Bruyne's not there, and he wasn't because he missed a lot of the season, what, you're not going to be able to score or play good?
No, I agree.
You can't get the ball up for yourself. The final, when De Bruyne went out, that just meant you're already right there, you knew, okay, yeah, Haaland's doing nothing. He's going to be a ref. If anybody's going to score, it's not going to be him. And what happened? The guy was ghost the rest of the game, and he didn't score any goals that game.
Well, when you watch like the Champions League game today, Man City versus Real Madrid, Haaland almost kind of looked like a shell of himself, where like he just kind of looks lost in the sense that like if the ball doesn't go to him within that 6-yard box or that 18-yard box, whatever, he's just kind of a lost cause. Mm-hmm. You know, like he doesn't – his hold-up play is decent enough. His link-up play is decent enough, but it's like what's separating him from another number nine?
Yeah.
You know, what's separating him from – Lukaku with Roma. I'm not pushing a Roma agenda like I usually do, so don't.
Of course, flip Roma always somehow gets involved.
Flip the script here.
And that's where I'll draw the line.
No, but
I know I was talking shit about Haaland to start this episode, but I do not even put Lukaku close to him.
Is there a difference?
Yes, that there's a difference.
I don't know.
No. Inzaghi and Haaland are right here. Lukaku's down here.
It's just funny because everyone makes it seem like Inzaghi, oh, worst player ever. He was bad. He was this and that. No, that man was a predator too.
Yeah.
He got you your goals. He was never number nine. He was never Italy's guy.
He was never that main star because he was just doing that. And there was nothing fancy to him.
Because that's the thing. He had no other asset except the fact that he could score you a goal in the 90th minute or he picked up the garbage like you need.
But again, that's why he was never considered one of the best.
So what you're trying to say.
The fact that Haaland's getting considered that already. Or yeah, he's going to be fighting with this. He's going to go down as that. How is he any different than Inzaghi? What is he? I know he still has a whole career to play, but the guy can't use his feet. He can barely finish all of his chances. How is he going
to
be that guy?
So what you're trying to say to me is basically Mario Mandzukic is better than Erling Haaland too.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm being serious.
I'm not even joking with you right now. Did Erling Haaland score a bicycle kick in a Champions League final? I don't think so. I don't remember that. Hold on, wait. No, I didn't. I don't remember that.
There's no way you're being serious right now.
Mandzukic is better than Haaland.
No, he isn't. He's not.
He's accomplished more than Haaland.
Okay, continue.
He's played in bigger matches and has showed up in those bigger matches more than Haaland.
Wait, has Mandzukic ever won a Champions League?
Yeah.
With who?
Bayern Munich.
Okay, yeah, I won't question it because
you can question timelines. I know I'm right.
Okay, my bad.
Jamie, you want to pull that shit up?
We got our own Jamie now.
Yeah,
his name's not Jamie though. It's not no relation to Ted Lasso either. If you were wondering, it's not Jamie Tart in the sidelines over here.
Could be Jamie Tart.
Anyways, while Jamie looks that up for us, and we can see if Al is actually
I'm right, and not even just because they take the trophy away while Haaland has a Champions League that he did nothing in.
Wow, okay, well, he just got thumbs up.
Yeah,
Mandzukic did win a Champions League.
Of course, I am right, Joel.
Okay,
zero listen, ball knowledge.
Again, I will agree that I do think Haaland is a bit overrated. I understand
you actually believe that Haaland's better than Mandzukic.
It depends in what context. This is my thing. I don't want my number nine to just be some killer in front of goal. Like I want him to offer way more than that. You know what I mean? So like, to me, I would the argue guy that moved
to left wing when Ronaldo got signed. No,
but that's just what I'm saying.
Accommodate his but team.
That's what I'm saying. Like for me, I would say, yeah, I agree with you. Everyone's going to tell me I'm not the smartest because, oh, I also think Batistuta is one of the greatest strikers of all time. But I love a striker that is more industrial than a goal scorer. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I appreciate those through and through number nines. You know what I mean? Like, your Diego Forlan actually was able to create a little bit too. But you know what I mean? Like, Cavani, Forlan, fucking what's his name? I'm thinking of the French guy, Trezeguet. You know, like, players like that. Obviously. Okay, sick. You have a Trezeguet jersey.
How'd you know?
Anyways, like, guys like that, like, obviously, I'll commend them. Icardi is in that bracket too. Like, I'm just... clinical number nine, like whatever. Yeah, we'll get to that after. But I do love a number nine that's able to assist in the play, whether it's holding the ball up. Maybe their numbers aren't as great as Haaland's are, but they offer way more. They link up play and stuff like that.
Mario Mandzukic.
And Mandzukic was that guy. You know, you didn't just get a striker. You got a guy that was also kind of built like a second striker, that he was good with his feet. He was able to pass the ball off. Like, his link up play was great. And I think that's what Haaland lacks. And I think that will be his demise. Because look, without the proper assistance, you already nullify him. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even a threat. Like, oh shit, all we have to do is get a guy to mark him. Cheers. Like, okay,
people,
now he's done.
People forget, Mandzukic was part of that team that went to that World Cup final. And he played a big part in that team. I know, obviously, Modric, guy won a Ballon d'Or because of that season, was phenomenal there. But Mandzukic was a big part of that team. He's just a perfect player, and he's a guy that will do anything for the team. It's Haaland, not that guy.
It's funny because my brother, whenever you ask him the comparison between Mbappe and Haaland, he'll look at me and say, okay, look at Mbappe, what he's done with his country, and look at Haaland. And it's always just like, what? One plays for France with arguably a golden generation of ballers. The other one's on Norway, man. He has Martin Odegaard, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, okay, but if he was that good, he would have brought his team to at least a World Cup. And then he'll reference Bale and how he did it with Wales and this and that.
Totti and Del Piero did it with Italy too. Guys like Gattuso and Materazzi playing on the team.
Yes, yeah, same, but different. Since we are talking about the whole younger generation, I guess, and promising talent, I guess. Haaland,
I mean, Haaland not promising because guy stinks.
Whatever, we're on this whole topic of wonder kids, I guess. There are two big names that are kind of sweeping the news outlets and stuff like that. That sounded like the most professional sentence I've ever said in my life, by the way. News outlets. Endrick and Yamal.
According to Lassine some news Yamal, outlets.
Whatever his name is, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Sorry, Barcelona, whatever. Both 16-year-olds. One of them is actually really good. The other one's an industry plant, in my humble opinion.
Industry plant, Joe.
I have this theory. And you can tell me I'm dumb. It's fine. Joe also I'm fine with that.
Sleeps with aluminum foil hat.
Yeah.
When he goes to bed.
Antimatter was built yesterday, and you guys don't even know about it. But whatever. Anyways, Endrick.
Stop with the industry plan.
Endrick is an industry plan. And let me tell you why. That. Let me tell you why. Okay. Hear me out. Hear me out. You had the second coming of Maradona, right? Lionel Messi. You had the second coming of Eusebio, which was Ronaldo with this killer, maybe not the same player, but you know what I mean? Like, another great emerged from them.
Okay.
Brazil, they had, like, since Pele, they had Ronaldinho, they had R9. Then there was Neymar, the prince who never became king, right? That's the whole narrative around this guy. So here comes Endrick, some stocky little 16-year-old playing with his boyhood club in Brazil, winning everything. Taking pictures with the Brazilian national team like he's Pele after he scored his first goal, being hoisted on their shoulders. It's literally just that, like, they're trying to shove this down your throat that this is the second coming right here. This is the next Pele. This is it. We had a second coming of Maradona.
It's like when the hype started with Messi. They know what they have and they appreciate it.
No, Endrick is beyond overrated.
Man, yes, you hear the guy's story? That's what soccer is missing.
I watched
that. Guys that came from nothing. Listen. And that literally soccer was their life. Soccer was their only clear light at the end of the tunnel to get their family out of all that trouble and just living like
that. Yeah, and look at what happened to guys like Adriano. Yeah, they thought the same thing, didn't they?
And they completely threw that away. Yeah. Hopefully, he doesn't end like that. He's what, 16?
Yeah.
So,
and he's overrated.
He still has a lot of time to grow. And so far, as a 16-year-old, the guy's more mature than I would say most probably 28-year-old soccer players. No,
he's not more mature. It's what the media is force-feeding him. He's more mature
than young up-and-coming Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, no, he just
he's like 29 years old.
Jesse Lingard just doesn't want to train properly. Leave him alone. He's the next best thing coming out of England. I got you guys.
Oh, shut up, man.
You watch when you watch when it comes home and Jesse Lingard hoists that World Cup, baby.
Fuck off with Jesse Lingard. No, that was a good point. Endrick is the real deal.
I think
it's industry plan shit, man. He knows how to take pictures. Is that so wrong?
Not like he has a marketing team that's shoving shit down his throat. Signed by fucking Real Madrid for 80 mil? Dad got another 80 mil.
It's like Nike at the beginning, man. They knew when Jordan was going around, man, he wasn't even considering Nike. They're like, man, I don't know about this guy. I feel like we got to push for this guy. I feel like he might be the next big thing. He's going to make us a lot of money. That's the way they're looking at Endrick, man. They're like, this is the guy. Never mind Neymar. Never mind those other guys that were around. Endrick is the guy.
Yeah, that sounds great and all. So who do you choose, Endrick or Yamal?
I mean, obviously, I don't know if you could tell by my spiel about Endrick. Obviously, Endrick.
Okay, Yamal, so I'm clearly Yamal.
Nothing to
now,
me.
Now, let me explain to you why I say Yamal over Endrick.
I'm going
to
explain first why I don't think Yamal over Endrick.
I think Al's been way too over-opinionated. So, everyone, I'm going to put an ad on Indeed or whatever. I'm getting done with
a new co-host? No, fuck off. You love it. Yamal, it's very simple.
I'm sorry for his
very, very simple, Jesus. Okay?
Yeah, what's up, man?
All this hype right now about him. Okay. Young, he's quick. Everyone's like,
wait, who are you talking about?
Yamal.
Oh.
Everyone's like, oh, this guy here, man, he's so good, man. Look at this guy, next guy for Spain. He's our star. What number is this for the, how many times we've said that already? Where's Ansu Fati right now?
Okay.
Where are all these guys that are, oh, this is Spain, the new Spain, the generation. This is the star. Where are these guys? They play a couple years, they tear their ACL, and then they're playing on Brighton and back to West Brom. So, what's your defense on why you think this other Spanish player, this young guy that's getting overhyped, is the real deal?
Because he's playing in a more competitive league. He's playing in the Champions League.
Spain's more competitive than Brazil.
I'm talking about Barcelona right now.
You think it's more competitive than the Brazilian league?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's make sure we're on the same page.
Wait, are you actually debating this right
no,
now?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, wait. Yeah, no, Yamal, like, dude, the level of maturity this guy has already, he's going on these crazy runs. Look at him starting for the Spain national team too. He's literally him and Nico Williams on either side is like the one of the scariest duos in Europe, in my opinion, of youngsters. It's pure speed, dribbling, finesse. Like, and Yamal doesn't go down easily either. Could you stop looking at me with an underbite? It's making me feel uncomfortable. But no, Yamal, I think is honestly like, Mazzeghi I hate
region.
I think there is a lot of overhyped Barcelona players. I'll be the first to say it. No matter, even if the most bang average player comes out of their youth academy, it's like, holy fuck, another 17-year-old Mark Cuban or whatever, their center back that came up recently. Fantastic or whatever. Cool. You're promoting your youngsters. But Yamal, I actually do think is the real deal because of his level of maturity. I think like whenever
he everything, man. Yes, Rafinha went there, did three keep ups, and they thought this guy was they got Ronaldinho. They're like, holy shit, we signed the next Ronaldinho.
Well, they did technically sign the next Ronaldinho because they both end in an in.
Continue about your.
Anyways, about your, I just think
why you think this
with Yamal this, and that level of maturity, I nothing. Do think like that is what's going to be key for him, especially going forward. If he could keep obviously injuries. Have to be like at a minimum, can't have any serious injuries or anything like that.
If you're gonna be that guy,
and let's hope Barcelona doesn't
train properly so your body won't get injured.
But I'm just saying, like, Barca has this bad habit of really beating the shit out of their players in like regards to like their fitness and stuff. Like, look at Pedri, didn't he play like 80 something games in 1 year? That poor guy looks like he's already aged 25 years and he's still only what 21.
If you're the best, you gotta be able to do it.
No, of course, but I think gradually they have to do a little bit better with maintaining their fitness and not, again, beating them up like that. And I think Yamal is definitely way better than Endrick. I think he's the real deal. I think Endrick is an industry player.
The only thing that people have to stand on is the fact that, like you said, okay, yeah, he's playing in Spain already and the other one's playing in Brazil still. But he's going to Spain next year. You're going to see him over there and I guarantee you he tears it up.
You're telling me?
I guarantee you.
Endrick starts right away off the rip on that Real Madrid team.
Maybe not the first couple games. I think he gets introduced into the games.
Mm-hmm.
He goes crazy, and he earns that spot very quickly. I genuinely think.
I think after two years. Man,
they're missing a striker. Who do they have as a striker?
Hoselu.
So who do they have as a striker?
Rodrigo.
So who do they have as a striker?
Pretty crazy. Jesse Rodriguez gave up on his rap career. He's coming back, baby. Okay. No, man.
I guarantee, like, we can even make a bet if you want. At the end of the season, beginning of next season. We saw what
happened to fucking Fagioli when he bets. All right, buddy. We're not going down these rabbit holes.
Why you got
to
bring that up? Why you got to do that now?
Do you think that the hype around these players is actually warranted, or do you think it's too early? And then not just like, you know what? Yeah, them. We're just talking about
Jamal and Endrick or Bove?
Eduardo Bove has no hype, and he should have all the hype in the world. But regardless, Endrick and Jamal.
Do I think they're overhyped?
Yeah. I'm saying, do you think there's too much hype around them? Like, is it too early? Is it warranted? What's going on?
With Endrick, I think it's warranted. The guy, they hype him. He goes to play a game, the first game of Brazil, and the guy scores. Second game of Brazil, and the guy scores. Like, he's proving it. He's showing up when it matters. Jamal, they hyped up because they're like, oh, he's Spanish. Hey, he got called up to the Barca's A team. He's playing. He's Spanish. He's going to be sick. He's going to be basically the next Messi, but Spanish.
Yeah.
The guy's quick. The guy, he's very confident with the way he dribbles and everything, but you can't really tell a player off of just that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. For me, Jamal, I think, is overhyped.
I think
Endrick, I think, is perfectly.
I'm going to be honest with you. I actually think both are a little overhyped because they're so young. I don't know. I've always said this too. Like, I hate the fact that players are gassed up so much at such a young age. Look at guys like Pato. He was supposed to be the next greatest thing.
But the difference between that.
Injuries happen, and then what did he do?
The difference is, Joe, he was on a shit team like Milan. He got injured there. Didn't have very good medical staff. Their owner loved hookers and blow before soccer. So just, and the guy was dating his daughter. So hey, you know what he's kind of stuff he's kind of getting into. This guy here, man, he's literally the next up and he's the up and coming, the next Pele.
No, okay, but again,
he's gonna win Brazil, dude. By the end of his career, Brazil's gonna have 10 stars on their jersey.
Yeah, okay, relax.
Guarantee, hands relax. Down.
hands are down. Put your hands back.
He's winning the next World Cup.
And no, then, it just feels like it's always like these.
He's gonna be the reason Mbappe kids. Only wins one World Cup.
No, yeah. I think Mbappe has another one. No. In him, to be honest,
you know why? Endrick.
No, because Chiesa.
That's, Joe, we gotta make a World Cup first. we missed it on two. We don't have really high grounds to stand on. There's more teams now involved.
Yeah, that's why. Hey guys, we'll be good.
Hopefully gonna make it.
Sometimes I just don't want to talk to you. I don't want to chat to you anymore.
But tell me I'm wrong or am I wrong?
Well, you realize Endrick's supporting staff is Richarlison, right? No.
And Richarlison, he's going to do his little bird walk right off a cliff.
But picture this crazy.
The problem is, he's not actually a bird. He's going to fall off the cliff. He can't fly.
Picture this crazy front line. We got Vinny. We got Endrick. Then we got.
No, you're going to have Rodrigo on the side. Yeah.
Dude, Rodrigo's not even a player.
Yeah, he is.
And then he's literally a spawn. He's just there for vibes. Right
behind. Paqueta just dancing behind
him.
He's
going to jail.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to sit there. And he's going to win a World Cup next year or 2 years, 3 years.
He's already getting locked up. It's already.
He's not, man. Dude, that was all just speculation. Nothing concrete.
Regardless.
I talked to the lawyers.
You don't even know a lawyer. But anyways.
No, I do.
There's this ongoing trend of these players being discovered quite early, actually. Like, we talk about Endrick, we talk about Jamal, obviously, great players, whatever. But it almost feels as if, like, we're in this weird wonder kid era. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like these rising ballers, and like, they're not being discovered at the age of 21 like they were, like, when we were growing up. You know, oh, fuck, that guy's 21 and he's playing for United or whatever. That's crazy. Nowadays, you hear about a 16-year-old or some 15-year-old rising baller that they want to bring up because he's doing so well. But you also then hear that it's like these guys, after like they hit a certain age, 23, 24, they kind of just burn out, you know? Do you think there is a problem with these players being discovered at an earlier age than before?
I feel like it's not really that being the problem. It's just them coming into it, and now with the amount of games that there is, I feel like that is what it's like their body's not getting used to. And I also feel like a lot of these Because, man, how does it go from, like, dude, I feel like when I used to watch back then compared to now, like, the injuries, like, there was, dude, you would hear of, like, an ACL injury, like, once from, like, the whole league.
It's true, actually.
Now you hear every team at least gets one ACL injury every year.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually insane to, like, what it's become. So, like, I don't know if it's just, if it's the amount of games that's causing it or just the training that is just changed now that it's making these body parts more vulnerable for injuries. Like, I really don't know, you know, what it is. But obviously, you know, you're bringing them in, like you said, now at 17 or 18. Some of these kids are coming at 16. Mm-hmm. Compared to back then, it was like, you know, they were getting introduced to the senior team at 2021. It's almost a recipe for disaster, especially with all the games. You're almost asking to be injured.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm not going to disagree with you there because I do agree for the amount of games they're playing now. They're trying to monetize the absolute fuck out of everything right now. So they are introducing more competitions, longer competitions and stuff like that.
They want to keep adding competitions but not taking anything away. So yeah, keep adding more. Keep adding more. These guys are good.
Yeah. They're good. So I'm going to give you a little question here. You have unlimited funds, unlimited resources. Like, basically, you snap your fingers, this guy's on your team.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 5 players. You have to choose out of these 5 which one you want on your team, and then tell me why you want them. Okay?
Okay.
So you got Yamal, Endrick.
Okay.
Cole Palmer.
Fuck. Okay.
Jude Bellingham. And we'll make it fun for you because I want to see if your bias takes over. Kenny Yıldız.
Obviously, dude. Man, what? Why would you even put him in there? Obviously, he's going to take it over any of those guys. You kidding me? Dude, Chesney called him making the Ballon d'Or shortlist in the next 5 years. He made a bet with someone. Probably Fagioli. Hopefully not.
But then Fagioli's going to be in jail.
No, dude. Honestly, out of that list, like, I'm not even joking with you. I think Yıldız. I would take Yıldız.
So you're going to take Yıldız over Endrick, who you just said is a World Cup, a future World Cup winner. Remember that, guys? He said it. I mean,
so there's some things that are bigger. And Champions League with Juve is that. And Yıldız will bring that back. Well, he will go back to back.
Because the AI predicted. It's going
back to back, baby. Well, they also led by our number 10 Yıldız.
I sincerely doubt that.
No, I'll take. No, man, sincerely doubt that?
Well, we won't talk about that.
Look at the way, man.
I'm not a fortune. I'm not Raven Simone.
You look at the way this guy moves. And the confidence this guy has in his game. And it's not just me saying it as a crazy, stupid Juve fan.
It is.
It's it's people around him and people, professional soccer players, talking very highly about this kid. Saying how, you know, they've never really seen a player like that. And the way he... What are you doing these looks for?
Yeah, no, bro, everyone's talking so highly of him. Chesney, one of his players. Allegri, his coach. Chiesa. It's all you the people.
And he's so a bench what?
Player.
Because he's 18 years old.
Okay, the list I gave you is guys leading their team.
Only what? Yamal and Endrick are younger than him.
Yeah.
The other two guys are older, and now they're just getting to start. This guy is getting playing time now at 18 years old.
Bellingham was doing
next year,
too.
You're starting with Dortmund, dude. It's the German league, man. There's one team. Okay, this year was a glitch in the matrix. Now Leverkusen won. Okay, sick. It's a one team league.
I'm personally gonna completely disagree.
Jadon Sancho
with you.
Looked like a god in that league.
Yeah, he looks good again.
And
actually.
Now again because he's in that league.
He's reborn. Again.
Yeah,
well,
all of a sudden he's reborn. But
he's like Jesse Lingard
in the Prem
2.0.
In the Prem couldn't do it.
Jadon Sancho is the wonder kid that will always be a wonder kid.
Yıldız, mark my words. I will get a tattoo of Chiesa swimming in the pool.
You already
on
said
my
that
back.
For the Euro, man. You can't.
No,
do it twice.
I'll get a different picture for the Euro. I'm gonna get that picture there. Actually, no, I'll get a picture of I'll get a picture of Yıldız sticking on his tongue like ADP on my back. If in the next 5 years he gets nominated for Ballon d'Or,
Yıldız, his claim to fame is the fact that he dated Madison Beer. Other
than
that,
another bonus, man. Other than that, cannot lose.
No, Weston McKennie. Is way better than Yıldız because he's dating Chiara Fratesi.
Yeah, Joe,
that's a baller right there.
We only win. I know the season's not reflecting too much, but
good for us.
Juventini, we only win.
If you ever want to come to Roma, there's always a spot for you.
No, I can't.
We appreciate that kind of game,
now,
baby.
Hey, it's all the long game, man. He's getting to her so she could get to Fratesi. Fratesi comes home. Like to his real home, not Roma.
Yeah, it's not like
they were his caregivers.
Anyways, I am gonna go with. This is a tough one actually for me. I'm not gonna lie, Endrick industry.
I know you're not saying Yildiz, but other than the other four,
Bellingham,
I feel like it's very clear.
I think Bellingham is also extremely overrated. Say what you want, England. I'm sorry. Not sorry. I'm going to honestly have to go with, I'm going to have to say Cole Palmer, buddy. Yeah. I'm going to have to say Cole Palmer. So it's between Cole Palmer or Yamal for me. Cole Palmer, just, it's tough to, what? We're not going back to you. It's my time to talk, right, buddy? So pump the brakes.
That's
Cole Palmer is literally the reason why Chelsea's not getting relegated.
I'm not fighting on Cole Palmer. I agreed with Cole Palmer. Okay. With you. I'm saying the fact that it was between him and Yamal.
Yeah, because I love
you. And not Yildiz or Bellingham. Listen,
I'm also kind of like a merchant when it comes to anything Spain does, because I've always had this weird respect for Spain. Yeah, like Spain, the, their just players.
Just remember that Euro Cup when they dicked you down.
No, I remember
that final.
I also remember that. I remember Casillas pointing to the badge and saying, hey, you
didn't
stop.
Did you go watch the game in the middle of a bar on St. Clair and then have to walk fucking 16 miles to your car? All across all different Spanish fans yelling at you and chirping you?
No, because I'm superstitious and I stay at home to watch my games.
Yeah, no, I went downtown. So,
bad anyways, okay, so clearly agree to disagree again here. Me and Al just, we're not on the same wavelength. Maybe we should have taken the week off, poor thing.
Especially with these youngins, man.
So my last question before we get into a segment that you really want to do, apparently, not me. I never once said I want to do the next segment.
He does.
Before we get into anything... the Euro is around the corner. We did a preview on Italy. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Maybe you should go look back on stuff, whatever. Anyways, we are going to talk about England. Just a quick little second. They have a plethora of talent, as much as we hate to admit it, as much as we hate to say anything good about England sometimes with their national team.
You got some guys that I like on there.
They got a bit of a problem right now, which is a good problem, I guess. Bukayo Saka is kind of petering out. He's burning out a little bit. But Phil Foden is on the
overhype rise.
So if you're Gareth Southgate, who are you choosing to start? Phil Foden or Bukayo Saka?
Based on just the form this season, man, you're stupid for not going with Foden. And like not even just because like the fall off of Saka and him not, you know, doing as well. Dude, Foden has like, and that's the thing, man. You look at Foden, and he's better than he was last year. God. He's for me, like he's a guy that I don't even know where his ceiling is. Like every year, it's like he finds a new way to improve his game and just become elevate his game, go to that next level. He just becomes that kind of guy, and I don't know. I genuinely think that he has to be in that team. Like he's going to be a very important part in that team as long as the coach is smart, which we all know is very 50-50, especially with his call-ups.
He's still starting Calvin Phillips over everyone. And Jordan Henderson.
Taking Maguire over tomorrow.
Well, I mean, Maguire's pretty class, man.
Okay.
I love Maguire. But Foden versus Saka.
Oh, there's no way you're going to think Saka here, man. No, you're just doing that just a toy with me now at this point. There's no way.
No. No, I'm going to say Phil Foden.
Okay.
I will say Phil Foden. I don't hate Saka, though. I think he's a very, very good player, man. I still remember when he started with Arsenal. He was playing left back. Weird flex, to be honest with you, because now he's a right mid, complete opposite, whatever. But I just think Saka's a very good, humble player. I think he does what you need him to do. Is he a little bit overrated at times? Yes, but I think that's just the Arsenal effect. They overhype. No, I wouldn't say the England effect. Because look at City, man. City had Cole Palmer, and they thought he was bang average, and he's actually a great player.
No,
Phil
but
Foden
like
doesn't even start.
I'm saying a lot of English players, like when they start doing well, like they just get overhyped and like, they're being compared to like Saka. Oh, is Saka the next Maradona? And you're like, what? Like, how does that even make sense?
Yeah, in that regard, yes, I agree. But I think like for both Foden and Saka, I feel like it's kind of like level. I think Saka actually gets overhyped more because it's that Arsenal cloud that he lives in.
Yes.
But yeah, I'd honestly agree with you here. I would say Foden over Saka just because he offers more versatility.
I feel
attack.
Like, yeah, it's, dude, you gotta be, you'd be stupid if you're choosing Saka over
Foden. He gets Saka all day.
No, man. Especially just top it off after this season. Like I would have already fought you before this season saying Foden over Saka should be playing.
Yeah.
But after the season, I think it cemented itself.
Okay.
Like, Foden,
what about over him. Phil Foden over Jude Bellingham? Or Jude Bellingham over Phil Foden. Well, Foden versus Jude Bellingham. Who do you start?
I'd probably still take Foden. Jude's good and all, but man, Foden's proven himself more, man. He's done it over a longer period of time. He showed up when it matters. What's Jude okay? I don't even count his time in Dortmund because, again, like I said, Sancho looked good there. Nothing really matters and nothing counts.
Do you call Sancho up?
For what? For water to be distributed faster? No.
Dude, give him the chance his boy Jay Ling's never got.
No, man, no. I'd rather call Lingard up than him.
No, okay, relax.
At least he can dance for the team.
Yeah, that's true. Provide entertainment for the vibes.
Just vibes.
For the vibes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At least that's beneficial. What the hell is Sancho going to do there? Probably start drama?
Cole Palmer.
Keep that guy.
Or Phil Foden.
Phil Foden, but like, man, Cole Palmer.
So essentially what we're getting at is Al's a Foden fan.
Man, I've gained a lot of respect for him because, again, seeing him play over the years, like he's not just one of those one-offs. Like he actually has skill. He's probably England's best player right now.
It's hard to
you can't really argue that. Like I can't even buy one of. He is England's best player right now.
Nah, I'd probably say
the guy that's playing in the dead league that he's scoring against horses.
Who?
Harry Kane?
Oh no, Harry Kane. I think is a little bit.
Harry Kane. I've always had a. Who are you gonna say?
I was gonna say Job Bellingham.
Job. Shut up.
His brother.
Yeah. I thought you were genuinely thinking about, like, wait,
when you guys told me that his jersey was retired and he's still on the team, I thought that was great.
Actually believed it.
Whoa.
I was like, wait, they actually
clearly
did
that? That's why everything gets.
Yeah, that's why the whole purple card got slipped in last week. Yeah. And Joe had no clue.
Not the sharpest tool sometimes. But, okay. Anyways,
thank God it's
last point of the evening. We are going to, last week we did a. Keep sell thin ice with
Juve edition
because we had to just piss off. That stung a little
bit. And now this week, pleasure of asking Joe the Roma edition and see what he thinks about his teammates and his players. I call you teammates because you guys are all one.
We're one cohesion and unity and cohesion. So yeah,
pull up the team.
Keep sell thin ice Roma edition. Oh, you want me to pull up the team?
Yeah,
but you don't.
I want visuals.
You don't remember Roma's team.
No, we'll start off in the back. I'll start off your goalie, Rui Patricio.
He's not even our goalie, dude.
Yeah, but he is, though.
He's not our goalie.
But he is, though.
No. Like, he really isn't our goalie.
Was it Svilar? Svilar?
Milos Svilar.
Okay. What do you think about him? Keep, sell, thin ice.
Keep.
You'd keep him?
Yeah, easily.
Why?
Because he's our best player. No. Honestly, because
there's no chance you wouldn't want to sign what's Atalanta's goalie again?
Karnaseki.
You wouldn't want to sign him over your goalie now?
No, because why spend the money when you have a perfectly fit? Dude, our goalie looks like Johnny Depp.
Shut up.
Okay. He's a Pirates of the Caribbean merchant. I love that.
I don't want to hear it anymore. Okay. Moving on. Chris Smalling.
Sell.
Okay. I think that's from for a second. I thought you were going to say keep there. I was gonna punch you in the head.
Sell Smaldini.
Spinazzola.
Hard strings.
Mm-hmm. Has he been living up to his expectation? Not really. Did he have one good Euro Cup? Yes.
Before he tore that Achilles, though, baby.
Sometimes.
You know what? Thin ice. Because my nostalgia takes over, and I like every time he makes half a run, I'm like that kid just like.
God, dude, Spina's playing so good right now.
Like, he just has to run.
He just makes a run.
And I'm happy.
He's having a game and a half.
Yeah, so thin ice, though, we'll say. If a decent enough offer comes in and we're able to, like, we have a proper left back, then later Spina type of thing. But I don't know.
Diego Llorente.
This guy, honestly, Llorente, when I see him play, it looks like he gets in the head of players by farting while he plays or something. Because he just looks so uncomfortable. It's weird. Well, we only have him on loan. I think we have to actually buy him. Fuck.
Did you keep him?
Nah, sell him.
Okay.
Sell him. Good. Sorry, buddy.
A lot better out there. That guy.
Yeah, sell him.
Okay. Your boy, Rick Karsdorp.
Keep, baby.
Keep
him. You keep Rick forever. You arguably give him number 10 if he wants. No, Rick stays.
Okay.
He stays.
Big old Gianluca Mancini.
Don't even question that.
Okay. I figured.
That's captain. That's my future captain, even though he's only like 27.
I haven't watched too much Roma, so like, I genuinely don't know
if he's
played that much. is Angelino? Does he play?
Oh, Angelino.
Does he play at all?
Yeah, dude, he's been starting since he came.
Would you keep him?
Yeah, he's a vibe. He's pretty cool. Yeah. My nephew said he looks like me, so I'm like, all right, sick.
So, okay, so, small so little you want to keep him because of that? Okay.
Yeah, that's okay, nostalgic, I guess. Okay.
What about Evan Ndicka?
Oh, keep him, dude.
Yeah?
Keep him. I love bastard. I think he has like, I actually think Ndicka has like 47 goal line clearances when Rui Patricio was our goalie.
Basically, he's crazy. He's the Chiellini and Mancini's like the Bonucci. So Mancini just looks good because of him. I get it. What about, I won't even ask you about the Juve legend, Big Dean, because he's coming back home soon.
Him anyways, he's a loser.
What about Paredes?
Oh,
the guy that literally is useless except for starting drama and just getting into people's heads.
I love that. Keep.
You're keeping him on your team.
I want that. I want that energy. I want a man that'll spit at people and then fucking drink their blood or something. I want Paredes forever.
Okay. Hey.
It's my king. One of my kings.
Not my team. I'm glad he's gone from there.
Yeah.
The Canadian boy, Brian Cristante.
He's Italian.
He's basically Canadian.
Grew
up in Stouffville.
Brian Cristante. I think it was actually Scarborough, but whatever.
No, Stouffville.
Brian Cristante, keep, extend, give him the number 10.
No,
give him the captaincy.
No, that's no way you're actually serious.
Yeah, he's literally our best midfielder.
If that's your best midfielder, fold as a team. Guendouzi's better than him.
Zero chance. You could even say their name in the same sentence unless it's saying Cristante is better than.
Said he's your best midfielder. You got bigger problems.
Okay, wait. Explain to me one thing. How is he not? He's there every single game. He puts in a great fucking shift every single game.
Just because he's not injured and he's available every game. That's why he's a good player.
No, he's consistent. You didn't let me finish my spiel. You just cut me off.
About what? Being there. That's it.
He's there every game. He puts in a great shift every game. He's defensively able.
Can't pass a ball. He can't shoot a ball.
Dude, your best midfielder, Locatelli, wants to be like Cristante with his one time switching the play passes.
Dude, Cristante doesn't even want to be Cristante.
No, Cristante is sick. No. And then when he does that cool thing with his hair, he goes, even though like it never actually moves because he barely has hair. Sick.
I wouldn't even put him. Right now, in Italy's midfield, I wouldn't even put him top 20. Well,
thankfully, you're not the coach, because if you also remember in the Euro...
Or am I? I got some big news on today's...
If you remember correctly, when Italy equalized, who was it that flicked it on from the near post to the back post?
But who won the Euro for us? Chiesa.
Who was it?
The guy right behind you.
Who was it?
The guy right behind you.
Brian Cristante, ladies and gentlemen, by the way,
Federico,
if you didn't know.
Chiesa.
He flicked it on back post,
he
and then
Italy,
it
the
just...
Euro Cup.
Regardless, Cristante was there. He's the ever-present person.
Bonucci's the one who scored the goal.
Yeah, but if it wasn't flicked on from by Cristante, it never makes it to the back post. That's cleared out all day, baby.
My mom had ball, she'd be my dad, but she doesn't.
Yeah, so exactly. So it benefited us.
No, it didn't.
You're literally proving my point.
No, but you don't know. If it hit somebody else, it could have still went there and Bonucci could have finished.
We'll never know.
Exactly.
Because we don't need to.
Cristante's useless.
Okay. Anyways,
sell him. Okay. Didn't know Renato Sanchez on your team, but I'm assuming he's going to be gone because I don't think he's seen the field, so I'm not going to ask him. Pellegrini, I already know your answer because I would love Pellegrini on my team. What about Awar, this guy that everyone...
You didn't say Pellegrini.
I just said because Joe, I would take him on my team, so I obviously know you would keep him.
Yeah, give him number 10 too.
That I would.
And
class guy.
Who, Awar? Who's? Big Who's?
Yeah.
I sell him.
Yeah? Yeah. Exactly. He's been...
I thought he was going to... I'm going to be honest with you. I thought he was going to be really good. I was so excited. I thought it was going to be like a rejuvenation almost.
He had an injury problem last season, the season before.
No, he had a contract problem, I think it was last year.
No, but it was also
injury. So he's just a stupid man.
He's trying to collect as much money before he retires.
Poor thing.
Sell him. Right. Gone. Yeah. What about Chesney's teammate, Zalewski?
I don't know, man. It's so hard. I feel like as I'm getting older and like I see like the like Roma introducing like these young kids and whatever, I feel like they're almost like my children. You know, so like seeing Zalewski, it's like I knew about him since he was like 14, 15,
You watched him grow up.
Yeah, it's like I know you personally now. So it really hurts me to even consider selling him, you know? Thin ice for Zalewski.
Yeah, almost sell, but yeah, I'd put him
thin ice. Thin ice.
What about your boy Tommaso Baldanzi?
Baldanzi, keep him forever.
No, dude.
Keep him forever, baby.
Dude, you got Dybala, though.
Yeah, Dybala's going to retire soon.
Yeah, okay.
He's getting older, poor thing.
Okay, what about this guy that you call a player, Eduardo?
Bove, give him number 10 as well.
Somebody got, you only have one number 10.
No, Bove deserves it too. Have you ever seen his jawline?
That's all he has. Dude, honestly, I'll tell you, there's one thing that guy's good at, and then that's what his job should be. He, because he looks really good in a Roma jersey. I'm not going to lie about that. He should model for Roma with, like, you know, like the whole, like, Roman thing, you know, whatever. Yeah. He could just be a model for, like, the Roma store. Yeah. He has, like, the jawline and everything. Like, I feel like he's good at that. Because, like, soccer, I mean, it's a good hobby for him, but I don't think it's maybe his, you know, maybe number one passion.
Are you done?
Yeah, no, I was just letting you know.
Okay. I would keep Wolve forever, lifetime contract, number 10.
So you just want to keep dead weight on your team?
Sure, man.
Hey.
Sure, man.
Not my team.
Your whole team is dead
weight. Cocaine cowboy himself, Stefan El Shaarawy.
Oh, buddy. I was about to get really hyped about keeping forever, but I'm like, nah, you know what? El Shaarawy, I'd keep him, though. I'd keep him because you know what? He's accepted his role as a depth. He's a good vibe. Everyone calls him Zio. So it's kind of sick, man. It's a good energy to have. It's like your version of Pinzolio. You know what I mean? Where it's like, he's just such a great vibe in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him.
We're also
like,
paying Pinzolio a lot less than El Shaarawy.
We don't pay El Shaarawy.
Who's paying
El Shaarawy? We just give him cocaine.
Oh.
Yeah. We tell him.
It's a fair trade off.
We told him the nightlife is crazy cool. Him and Nangolan just really go out.
Nangolan just takes him out every night.
Him and Nangolan go to dinner.
And then Murden's goes to join them.
Murden's.
Just for vibes.
Yeah. That's all it ever
his
is.
His dance moves with his nun.
Murden's would be cool.
Crazy guy, man. Murden's teammate, Lukaku.
Salt.
Why so quick?
Not man? Even a debate. Salt.
Dude, probably one of your best strikers to ever play on your team. Stop. And you're going to sell him just like that.
You're trying to wind me up. It's not working.
Dude, it literally Roma's best striker to ever put on his jersey. To put on that jersey, dude. To wear the colors of Rome.
No, dude. I think he's Laziale.
No.
I think he's Laziale. No.
He said, dude, he's Roma till he dies. Okay, he said he grew up watching Roma.
Dude, he said that about Inter.
No, Chelsea.
He said that about your team, West Brom.
No, because there was a mix up with the translation in it. His interpreter got it a little bit mixed up.
Well,
so he was actually saying Roma that was his childhood team. Like, he always grew up wanting to be a player for Roma.
I'd still sell him, though.
That's kind of crazy.
No matter what, I'm selling.
That's kind of crazy, man. All right. My boy Paulo Dybala.
Keep.
Class. I mean, maybe sell him back to us, but
yeah.
Keep him.
I would do that if you guys give us someone crazy.
We'll give you guys Miretti.
Yeah, I would do it.
Okay.
Him and Baldanzi would be vibes.
What about Keane?
No.
Can't take Keane?
No.
Keane and Milik.
Fuck Milik, man. Okay. Guy sucks. Hey. His best years were on Marseille when he sat on the bench.
All right. Fine. Okay. What about your boy? Sadar Azmoun.
Oh, keep him forever. Lifetime contract. Oh,
man.
Dude, his first line when he signed the contract was, I will die for Roma.
But you don't believe Lukaku. He said he grew up watching that team. That was his favorite team.
No, it's because he twerked for everybody else. Sadar Azmoun is literally like just the vibe. Keep him forever, baby.
But then you wonder why Roma doesn't win anything, because you guys have players just for vibes.
Yeah.
When it actually comes down to it, they can't play. They're like, oh, dude, I just got hired for vibes. I can't do this right now.
When the vibes are right, everything else follows. That's my life lesson. For
this,
everybody.
This next guy, I mean,
keep.
I like him.
Keep. What? Keep.
João Costa, you would keep.
Yeah, I would keep him. He's a youngster. He's 18.
Okay. Kind of crazy, but.
And I would keep Nico Lopez.
Tammy Abraham.
Tam Abraham.
You keep him?
Keep him forever, baby. Coming really? Back.
What if I okay, like, real talk.
No.
Big
okay,
offer. Like, decent offer. Not even big offer. Decent offer.
I would take him. Yeah, I would
take
him.
You would take
him? That's the thing. Like, I wouldn't say sell him, like, voluntarily, like, oh,
yeah,
get rid of him or thin ice
on,
because he's not on thin ice. But, like, if an offer came in from him, there's definitely, like, I look at him and be like, yeah, you know what? If it's above 40 mil, because that's what we got him for,
yeah,
I would be entertaining it, definitely. But I also wouldn't look at you and say he's a thin ice guy or I'd sell him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's just one of those guys I'd keep, but if the right offer's there,
you would.
I would listen to it. You know, like even going back to like Paredes, same thing. As much as I love that shit disturber and that instigator, like him and Zalewski, like they're in that bracket that I'm not openly marketing them, but offer comes in. See you later. Have fun. Go talk to your mother or something. Okay. You know?
I appreciate that. And to end things off, because I don't really care about if you want Joao Costa or Churbini's son, the guy from Juve. His son's playing for Roma. Pretty
that's
crazy.
That's the guy you guys wanted.
Yeah, no, but that's his son, the guy's son.
Yeah,
we let you guys keep him. Daniele Di Rossi.
Why? There's zero doubt in my mind.
Why?
First off, he has as many.
And don't say the vibes and the nostalgia. Give me a fucking reason.
So, okay, I'll give you multiple reasons here.
I didn't ask for multiple. I asked for one reason.
He has the same amount of wins against Lazio that Mourinho has in his 2.5 years.
Scudetto right there.
He already has more goals than Mourinho in the last year and a half with Roma.
Not that hard. The guy parks the bus.
He has already emphasized the development of our youngsters by fielding these youngsters, investing in youngsters. We're now looking at other youngsters to get for the team. And I think that's what Roma has always needed as a rebuild. Invest in these rising ballers and then build around. You know, we have key players, obviously. Build around them. Mourinho, no. He was a park the bus merchant. He glorified Matic, who I think is great. Obviously, I'm not going to talk shit about Matic.
But he was a win now. Sell these young guys. I don't care. I need these kind of players. I need a guy like Matic to come in here. Because
after the first game, I was already on the De Rossi bandwagon to extend him. That was my nostalgia taking over, seeing that bearded beauty on the bench. But now it's just like everything about him, the way he addresses it, like the way the modern football is progressing. You need a manager like that, that takes the blame off the players, understands the pressure of the city and the team, and is able to absorb it and kind of like transmit his messages properly. Like, you know what I mean? And
I'm just breaking your balls and asking you the question. You know, I agree too, especially with the modern day kind of coach.
It's beautiful.
He fits that role. And I mean, now is the perfect opportunity for him. He's had a little bit of practice before with other teams. This is his chance now. It's his to mess up. So
yeah.
I mean, we talked about it last week, this whole new era of soccer and these coaches. So, I mean, it's the perfect recipe for Roma, and especially that they kind of accept, okay, hey, you know what? We're maybe not going to be challenging again for the Europa League,
man.
Or challenge for the Conference League, but you guys can actually build something now with De Rossi and actually have a project and not try to do all this. Okay, let's sell these promising guys that now people are looking at them because they actually are good.
Yeah.
Just because I want to bring in Lukaku and I want to bring in Dybala and I want to bring in Matic and all these older guys, but they're experienced and they can help you win right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would be a good move. And I know we've talked about in the past that they keep De Rossi even for next season, at least for that. See how he does in a full season. Don't just get rid of him. Like, don't keep him as an interim now and then get rid of him and bring somebody else in.
Yeah.
That's the wrong.
Especially if you let him cook and he actually successfully gets you guys back to Champions League and whatever it is. I genuinely think like it's a no-brainer. Then you're at a minimum, you are giving him a full year then to see what he could do. You know what I mean? Like if you threw him in the fire and he came out on top and qualified for Champions League, it could go one of two ways. I get it, but it's a better reward if you take the risk on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For next year, if obviously everything goes
well. You're never going to know. I'm with every coach, whether it's my team or other teams. I won't judge them, especially when they come in midseason like this. I want to see them do a full season.
Yeah, because that's when you actually see everything.
That's a lot harder to do than, you know, kind of coming to Roman. You guys are still in Europa League.
This Thursday we play.
You guys are still in Europa League, but, you know, you're not really.
Shit, this Thursday.
Joe just clued in that they played Milan this week. It's okay, buddy. You guys got this. But yeah, so he's kind of taking that over. He didn't get, you know, from the beginning and kind of go through like the group and go through like those first kind of that first stage of Serie A where, you know, some like teams that are not supposed to win or end up winning and it's just all over the place. So I want to see how he does next year having a full season with Roma.
I agree.
I'm on the same page with you.
Nice.
And then you see from there because he's got to step it up and do something within a full season.
Yeah. I'm glad we're on the same page finally.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Finally. I know with a lot of going back and forth this episode, it feels good to finally be on the same page of it.
But on that note, we are done.
Yeah. I think that that concludes everything for this week's episode.
And guys, since we didn't introduce ourselves at all, I'm still Joe's, if you're wondering.
Fuck you. I don't need to introduce myself. You guys know who I am. I've made it. You've heard us enough.
Ultras 11.
Guys, thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I'm talking too much. I'm slurring words now. And we'll see you next week. We'll hear you next week. Ciao, boys.
See you later.